Welcome back to Inside Texas with the Girl Herd. I'm Devin, and we have Michelle and Angie here.
Hello, hello.
Hi,
another
guys.
Week of Texas football and all the things. Oh, yeah. My light just went out.
I mean, the draft. So I think we can naturally start there. Everyone's been giving their takes, and I'll start with mine. I think the draft had very weird and dark energy. Like, I'm gonna need next year's draft to be here ASAP. Like, I tuned in, sat on my couch, I was ready for the fun, and then, like, man, we had to wait for a while for our QB1 to go, and just the Shador situation, all of the situations. Like, I just think it came with dark energy, and the draft is supposed to be fun. This is when men's lives are changing, so I'll just start there.
I know, I was like, what is actually happening at Lambeau? Because this is wild, especially for it being such a historic football ground. Like, why was the energy the way that it was? Because I think pretty much the entire nation kind of picked up on that energy too. I think there was lots of questions surrounding it. And even what is the NFL trying to prove at this point? What are they proving with these kids of what they're doing in college and all these rankings, which the draft is about who's ranking here, how are they performing here, but then how they were being drafted wasn't necessarily emulating those things, same things, and all the conversations being had around these players. It really was a wild twist. I don't think we've ever had an NFL draft like this one, and hopefully we don't have one again. But I am excited. We did have two of our guys go to Green Bay, so for them to be in Lambeau Field, get drafted by that team and be at home, that was so, so special. Something I feel like they'll cherish forever, and especially Baron, that he stayed until he got drafted and the commissioner came back out. I did feel like that was a really special moment through all of the crazy other dark madness that was happening.
Yeah, I saw a clip of his and like his emotional and like thanking his parents and all this stuff. And of course, he saw a lot of emotions from a lot of the guys. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we've been discussing all weekend. We were, you know, multiple people were like, what's happening here? And so you're right. Like, I think everyone felt it. I kept looking and like refreshing of like where everyone was ranked and like draft mode and like who had gone. And it was all over the place of when they were, you know, went to the, actually got picked. And so that just tells you, but I mean, a draft ranking and I obviously like what they're going to do in real life is different when they actually get picked, what they're going to do in real life, very different, but it was an interesting weekend. I am very pumped that we had three go in the first round and had 12 go in all total of this, you know, 7-round draft here this year, which is a record for us. So that part is exciting. And of course, I'm excited for the guys that are going. But there was a few times where I got emotional myself watching certain people go off the board that I was like, finally, like what has happened? But
yeah, they always talk about what, like what drafts are QB heavy or not. I don't think they really said either way. I think there were a lot of questions going into this draft. And I also think that they are talking already about the 2026 draft, which, by the way, hilarious that they're saying Arch will be a part of that, because I think absolutely everybody who knows anything about our program and about him knows that that pretty much is not the case. So I do want to talk a little bit about Quinn, because Joe Cook from Inside Texas wrote about this, how like the irony of everybody like going in, and they said it about Shador too during the draft process. Oh, they need to like go back to college one more year, or, you know, Quinn should have transferred. And it's like, okay, so you guys have a magic wand about next year and what would have happened. And I totally disagree with that for Quinn, especially given his injury history. That like bet would have been, you know, it could have gone a complete wrong way. And then what would people have said?
Yeah, I mean, I always think that that's a gamble, right? Like whether these kids stay or whether they go, it's a toss up, and you can never predict the future. They have the best estimates, right? And like how they perform that year and what they're projected to go. But again, like, Quinn came into UT. He left a legacy here for us. He went through kind of the gauntlet with UT and made Texas kind of now what it is and on this upper trajectory that we are on. So I think for him, he was leaving at the perfect time, right? Because we also are really developing players right now. And that's one of the things that I wrote down is look how many players we've increased since 2022 when Sark came, and that Texas again is finally on this path of developing talent. And I think that's all part of it. We love you guys when you're here. We are going to develop you and make you into the best player so that you can go on to this next level of your career.
Yeah. And I think, like, I mean, again, like, there's so much speculation out there and people's thoughts and comments. And of course, these are our opinions, but like, I'd agree. Like, I think what Arch did, what Quinn did and going this year was the right call. And I disagree with, you know, some of the comments that were being said and like, wait another year, transfer this, that, and the other. Like, he left at a great time and Texas is in a great position and he wanted to take that next step. And this was the timing that he chose to do that. And I stand behind him in that decision and what he went. And everyone wants to talk about like, oh, he's not going to make as much money as he would have if he would have stayed in college. That's also a lot of assumptions. Like, where would he have landed? What was he going to do? What deals would he have, you know, like all those things where like, we have no idea what he's tech making in the draft in the NFL today and what that ride will be like for him and deals that will stay strong. And also like, again, he's worn the Texas across his chest. We've all talked about what that kind of legacy has, being a part of this team and what he'll be able to do, like talks around the world and like what that comes with as well of being the quarterback from the University of Texas. So there's so many assumptions here being made, but I stand behind him. I'm very excited for him. I know it's later than a lot of us would have thought, but he got drafted. I'm excited to see what he does with where he's landed in Miami. And I'm excited for him regardless.
Yeah. Potentially going into a really good fit. And Dez Bryant actually had his own series of tweets and takes about it, which I loved. Yes. I just need people to like have a lot more fun. Like, people were saying Mel Kiper needed to be fired. And again, Eric spoke on this earlier today on the live for Inside Texas. And it's like, excuse me, where's the respect for people like Mel Kiper and like what he's done? He's legendary in his career. All of the commentary around Shador and Deion Sanders and his family, again, Deion Sanders being a legacy NFL player and still a household name so many years later. And again, what he's done for the sport here as of recent. I just don't understand how we like went to all these negative narratives versus like having a good time with it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that's something that continues to trend in sports, which is so sad. And I think Sark touched on it a little bit today when talking about Arch and kind of surrounding him with like a little bit of protection and love, right? Like, this kid is going to be taking on this role as the starting QB. It's his first time being QB1 for an entire season. Like, do not forget that. Like, yes, we know his name. Yes, we know his pedigree. We have all these expectations of how he's going to perform because we've seen him do this and how athletic he is. But also, there are going to be mistakes, and he's going to have that room to make those mistakes to truly become the once-of-a-lifetime Hall of Fame kind of type player that we want him to become. And just remember that as a fan base, right? Like, you are a fan. And this is a kid, right? He is a very talented kid, but also a kid. So, like, again, bring it back to the fun of football. Like, relax.
Cooper said it. Like, he said it months ago, and I was cracking up because he was just like, yeah, like, by the way, we're going to have some losses. And I just think that's funny because, like, even as we were talking to before coming on the live, Michelle was just like, well, why you say that? Like, don't be negative about talking about our season this year, what might happen. But I love the realistic, like, outlook of both the head coach and then the father of our QB1. I think that keeps Arch very grounded. I mean, he doesn't need to be more grounded. He's very comfortable in the role that he's going into. But our schedule going into Georgia, going into Florida, I mean, I have those two circled on my calendar because those are going to be really rough environments, both for him, but the entire team as well as the fan base. And so I'm excited and looking forward to it. And I think we should have fun with the season because that's what it's going to be.
Arch literally just celebrated his 21st birthday, speaking of kid and all these things. And I mean, yes, I agree. Like, I want the realistic. You'll always know me. I'm always going to be like, die hard for our team. And we're going to go like all the way. No, I mean, realistic, but like excited for us regardless. I think we have lots of potential and where we're going. But I agree. Like, I will not, even though I have some expectation, I'm not going to go into this season. And if he, you know, our team doesn't do as well in the first couple of games, I also won't be that fan that's like, what's happening? I had so many expectations. You guys are letting me down. Like, I, you know, I that kind of stuff is not necessary. And I do agree that, like, we're having fun. Like, do we have a lot of expectations? Do we want to see a really great year? Yes. But I agree that, like, this is all new to all of us. Now we're playing in the opposite places in the SEC. And, like, you're right. Like, going to Georgia, going to Florida, we've talked about all of these as well. Like, those aren't going to be easy places to play. And there's a whole thing about the Manning curse and Florida. And so we'll see what happens as well with Arch. But, like, yeah, let's get back to the fun of football. Like, it's exciting where we're at. We're setting records. I'm really happy with, you know, our guys as well. And, like, how they've all interviewed and, like, the way they approach everything. And, like, you can tell, again, we always talk about the culture, but, like, how it's all happening. And I, you can tell the way Sark talks as well. Like, whoa, let's pump the brakes on this season and Arch and how everyone feels. And, like, maintaining expectations as well. And you can see that from our guys as well.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm, like, low-key scared of DJ Lagway, and I just feel some energy for him. Like, he's ready for us whenever we go to Florida. And I think Angie was trying to jump in. It's Arch's 20th. So he's quite not legal drinking age yet, but one more year and he will be. But he did, to your point, Michelle, celebrate a birthday, and I saw that and was loving it. So hope he had a good time.
And I like to, we've gotten all of these kind of pieces now that have come in from our young guys that came in early and they've been practicing it on campus, and the guys that we're pulling in from the transfer portal, and our D line now, like, we've brought in so many big bodies, and I'm like, here for all the weight, because, like, we think about if we're getting into the playoffs, 16, 17, whatever games, we need bodies in rotation, and the bigger the better, right? Like, we want to be impacting and coming for those opposing quarterbacks as much as possible. But on the flip side, how amazing is it now that our O-line gets to go against some of, like, the best people on the opposite side of the ball and really get those reps up in practice of how they're going to protect Arch and how they're really going to make a difference in our offensive scheme and setting us up for success that way.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought about was our opponent in Georgia. They don't play when it comes to that D-line. We need that energy. And you saw those guys from their school being drafted. So, yes, Angie, I'm really excited about the work that we did there and excited to see it come to life in a product. In terms of portal, we know that the window is done now. So how are we feeling?
I feel good. I mean, I think we got some key guys. I think it's still early, right? Like, we're still developing. There's still a lot of practice to be had. There is some fine tuning and some consistency things that they're going to need to mold and kind of figure out. But back to the development piece, we're going to continue to see guys moving and shifting around to different positions until they really figure out that jigsaw puzzle of how we're going to get our best players on the field, who works the best together, who jives, when we need to pull in and when we need to pull people out. So I'm feeling, like, optimistic about where we are right now and going into May and them kind of having a break and everybody take a breather, and then we'll come back guns a-blazing and head into the season.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about our main, majority, I should say, of who we picked up in the portal already. And I think, like, we talked about this as well. Like, I think that speaks volumes that, like, that's what we went after and no more. And then it's kind of like, okay, we feel good about our team. These are the people that we felt would fit best with our team, our culture, and where it goes. And agreed, like, now it's just a matter of playing with all the pieces and where it's going to fall in and in the coaches we trust.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I have to say, I think I have a lot more confidence in what the defense will put together. I love your point, Angie, about the offense gets to practice against them and get ready. I think there's still so many questions when it comes to the wide receiver and QB connection with Arch in terms of inside of the game, not what's happening in practice. We heard a lot of great reports about Parker Livingston. We know Ryan Wingo did go down, but I think that between the O-line being so new, Arch coming in for his first full campaign of a season, and just the connection at wide receiver, I'm more questions for me from the offense in an excitement way. Not that I think they're not ready. I think the best thing they can do is go up against that defense. So definitely the experience of the Colin Simmons, Ant Hill, stuff we already talked about, I'm just ready to see it in motion.
And I can just see, I don't know why, I can just see Sark in this moment of getting our O-line ready of like, oh, cute, y'all thought you were tired? Fresh bodies, bringing a whole nother round in. Like, let's keep going. Yeah. And that's what they're going to need in those tough environments. And we've talked about this before, too, of how hot that it gets here and in the South of when we're playing outside at these 11 o'clock games. Like, they're going to have to be prepared and ready to freaking go.
Well, and we talked about last year how we did pretty well against penalties up until a certain point. So, like, that's a big thing for the O-line as well. Like, make sure you're not jumping or, I mean, obviously defensive line as well, but you see it more times than not on offensive. So it's just, it'll be, we with the green, if you will, or new people, like, how they're going to, the atmospheres, how loud it is, like, all sorts of things that are going to happen.
You know what I just thought about, because during the NFL draft, like, I wonder if Sark is like, yeah, you guys need to like revisit this, because it was like some of the Ohio State D-line people getting drafted, and of course they're showing our game, and I was just like getting pissed all over again. But I'm sure he's like, yep, exactly, like, this is why I got all these guys in the portal, like, this is not going to happen for us again in terms of like getting our offensive line ready too. So
Devin, I love that you brought that. I literally have a note in my little notebook of like, why every time are they showing clips of somebody who got drafted? It's them playing Texas. Like, speak to our talent again, but it never fails. Never fails.
But also, like, thank you for fueling us. Like, show our clips. That's their best clips. Like, okay, cool.
Roll the credits.
Everybody's highlight reel. What the heck? Well, we want to get into a little bit more football and, of course, the awesome sweep weekend from Texas baseball and Coach Losh. But first, a little bit from our sponsor.
Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
Another thing that was talked about recently was the playoff schedule for college football being released. And I think one of the things that our eyes all went to, as did other Texas fans who travel to these games like we do, no Saturday games. That's number one. There's zero. So how we
that
feel
is insane.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Everybody's off of work. We want to go to a game on a weekend.
I saw people's point, but I think that anything like the New Year's Eve weekend and on, it's a little different, and I'm fine with it because I think for the most part, we're all flexing our schedules and, you know, hopefully blessed and out of work type of thing. And then I kind of like the Friday game, but I get people's point. I do.
I mean, yeah, I usually take off and like last year with like the snowstorm and everything, like there was all different things that ended up happening with our schedules. One of the big things that I noticed as well is how many not peach bowls there are on everything. Like, how many times were we going to have to go to Atlanta last year? Of course, the SEC championship isn't on here, but it was a note of mine, and that the Natty's in Miami here for that.
Yeah. I mean, we keep on talking about our era and I feel like we're officially aging ourselves, but I don't mind that. I like aging us. It's awesome that we're still kicking the can around here on earth, you know, but we were, you know, poised to go to that game in the 08 season. And we all know like why we didn't, but I've been waiting. I've never been to a bowl game there.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. I've been to like an Orange Bowl whenever I was in grad school in Florida, but never in Miami.
I know. I was looking at all these like Rose Bowl, been to Sugar Bowl, been to like obviously Cotton Bowl. Yeah, Peach Bowl. But yeah, Miami, haven't, not something I've been to either. Like, And I bet it's a vibe. I am curious, like, where the stadium is versus, like, where everything else is, because we always talk about that. Like, it's fun to go to certain of these, and it's within walking distance, or you get to do more fun things while you're there. But
it's my favorite. I've been to a Dolphins game, and I don't remember it being super close and convenient to everything, but that was also a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite Twitter conversations. I think it's Sugar Bowl, and I think that it is Alamo Bowl in terms of, and it doesn't have to be football event because they just had the Final Four there for basketball. As everyone knows, going to those two cities, I'm sorry, they're top tier. You walk everywhere. It's super fun. All the fans are kind of like in this tight little like radius of the city. And I mean, you can't compete or compare. People always talk about the Rose Bowl, and that's fine. Like, it's historical. I know that sunsets and palm trees are up and all of that, but y'all, it's like not accessible to anything.
It's not. It is. And I thought it was interesting too that they did change the time. You mentioned the Rose Bowl. They changed that time because, you know, being on that West Coast time, things do get so late, which is interesting. But like you said, I love that atmosphere too, when like everybody is just engulfed in each other, and it creates such a different environment from anything else that you experience. So I'm hoping they figure out a way in Miami to create that same feel. I mean, I'm sure on the strip or down by the beach, there's going to be things, but hopefully they include some activation for fan experience.
I'm sure they will. I mean, I'm speaking on 2010. I'm sure it's probably a lot different. Well, let's move on to Texas baseball. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like we like put in our last Infinity Stone over the weekend. Yeah. Like, I feel like Texas is Thanos, and I will say, because I've said this so many times, in some ways, I feel a little bad. Like, we say that they're our little brother, and it's like, sometimes you, like, want your little brother to, like, get things. Like, I don't want them to win, but it also, like, begs the question. So, like, two-parter. How are we feeling after the sweep and everything that's going on, and just what do we think, where do we think this team is going? But number two, Ghost, which... it's so funny that he's Ghost. Ghost of Texas Football posted, oh, we're in this part of the season where we start, like, discussing who's our rival, like more so Oklahoma, more so Aggies. And for me, it's why it's Oklahoma. But he said Oklahoma for football and then baseball for the other majors. So thoughts on all of them?
I like sweeping A&M for the first time since 2010, like obviously here for, of course, we hadn't played them but in years, but like I love it. Like I just, it's exciting. I do. All of this weekend was like full of little bro comments. So I'm here for that and all of that discussion. I think it's funny, of course, stole their coach. So like there was so much about that and everything out there. But hey, they put up a good fight. They still have some good players, good team. But we beat y'all. We sweeped you, not just beat y'all.
Also the coach talking about he wasn't thinking about the game and it was the same as the other games. All right. Okay, company line. We got you.
Yes. And I feel like the whole weekend, all I could hear was our friend Kyle in the background, right? Just like talking all the things Aggies. But the way that that last game ended too, with like that double, I'm like, that place had to have been freaking electric. And I really love it. Yes. Like you said, they are a little brother and sometimes we like want to pat on the head, but there is something where you're like, ooh, like not only did we steal your coach, we stole some of your players. And we swept you, like you're feeling a little down in the dumps at this point. But for our program, I freaking love it. And I kind of agree to the other thing that you mentioned about OU for football. I do think that A&M has been a bigger rival for baseball because the program has been so good. And that's like another LSU, right? LSU baseball is a whole nother story too when it comes in. But Now that you got swept and you're going to have to rebuild a whole program, like, I don't know who you say.
It's sad. Like, again, whenever Thanos got his Infinity Stones and, like, the Earth freaking lost, like, there was nothing you could do. Like, I'm sorry. Reading all the comments online, I don't know what it is in me. Maybe there's, like, a hint of maroon blood. My high school sci fair, you know, we're called Little A&M. So maybe that's why I feel, like, 1% sad. But, like, I was like, man, like, this is bad. We did steal their coach. Then we swept them. I was just like, oh, okay.
Are you well? Are you well? Are you breathing?
Yeah, like that's exactly how it is. Like you want it to be a game. Like you want to be like, get up, ball up top, like let's go. But like you can't even do that.
We did.
And even like, what do they say? Yeah. There was like some, I feel like little chitter chatter back and forth. And even the memes and stuff from that, I'm like, what do you have to say? Like, what are you barking about?
Always. They always are. Like, they like put so much on their message boards. There was so much going on. Like, I saw somebody's tweet who was an Aggie and was like, I got into UT, but I went to A&M and I'm so happy. You'll never find me wanting to be. I was like, okay. Okay, here we are. This is the rivalry coming back. This is what we all wanted. Okay, I'm here for it. I love it. And I love that we're on this side of it where we just swept you guys as well.
But I do, I feel like we got to credit our man CDC too. I think this is the 9th sport that has at some point been ranked number one in his time at Texas. And that is a huge accomplishment.
Huge. Amazing. It's amazing. The standard is the standard. And for once in a very long time, it's actually super real and it's awesome to be experiencing it, especially with him at the helm. I noticed that we so conveniently left one thing off the agenda. But like I said before, maybe we won't talk about Bruno and Patty White and OU and softball.
Yeah.
We're just going to cross that one out for now. And so I think with baseball, though, haven't dropped a series, right? So we are going to be looking to them, I think, to be in Omaha, to be at the end. And so that's the expectation on my end.
Well, that's what, when you asked about like, who's the rival in terms of in different sports, like softball, it's still got to be OU. Like I hate it for us, but football, softball, for sure. Agreed. I don't know why they have our card, but they're a good team.
They are very good. You have to give credit where credit is due, and they are a phenomenal team.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for baseball's next series, too, with Arkansas. It might be SEC deciding, so we'll see how that flows as well.
Did y'all see that? I think Sark threw out one of the pitches, and he threw it to Jonah.
Girl, I saw the picture. I was like, what's Sark doing out here? Hopefully he don't pull a muscle. We're going to have to discuss that with him whenever we get to see him. And it's funny because me and Frank were talking about Jonah, and I think Sark was jokingly like, hopefully I get – I got him back, but I'm like, are you like actually going to get him back?
Him back, please. We would love to see you on the football field too.
But they're like them in their little baseball jerseys and together. It was cute.
Yeah.
It's like all worlds colliding.
I do love it.
Well, I think that's it for this week's show. And we can't wait to see y'all again next week.
See you later.
Bye. Hug 'em.